questions.
Switch itself off. And it is, and you just need to stand a bit nearer.
As Phil said, it's from Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 16, which is the end of the chapter. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Not circumcision, but a new creation. See what larger letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by the means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted at the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Morning, beloved. Shall we pray? Let's pray together. Father, we remember John the Baptist's words, speaking of Jesus, that he must increase and we must decrease. Father, I pray that that would be our desire this morning, just that we would see more of Jesus, that we would have him in our minds as more wonderful, more satisfying, more worthy of our worship and our adoration than ever before. Lord, would we decrease in our minds, and would Jesus increase? In his name we pray. Amen. So, the British adventurer Carl Bushby, great name. Picture of him on the screen. He's coming to the end of his journey. In 1998, he set off from Chile on his mission to walk around the world. But by the time he reaches his home in Hull, he'll have walked about 38,000 miles, maybe more. A slight change of plans means that he might have to swim the English Channel instead of walking through the tunnel as he'd originally planned, but he's almost there. He's almost at the end of his long, long journey. As a church, we set off on a long journey back in April. On Sunday mornings, we started making our way through the book of Galatians in the Bible, and today is our last one. We've made it to the end of the book. We're almost at the end of our journey. Now, the end of a letter, the end of any letter, I think, is really important, isn't it? And it's especially true of Galatians. Especially with a letter like Galatians that would have likely been read to the gathered church What words, what message does Paul want to be ringing in our ears once the scroll is put down? Let's just think a bit about where we've been on this journey through the letter so far. So remember, after Paul preached the gospel in Galatia and churches were grown there, he moved on. And then others came in, didn't they, and began asking, like, who even is this Paul guy? How can we trust a word that he says? And Paul's answer, if you remember, was that he was an apostle commissioned by Jesus Christ, just as much as any of Jesus' 12 apostles. Jesus Christ had appeared to him and entrusted to him the gospel message, the good news. Paul had been given authority by Jesus himself. And so, with the support of the other apostles as well, he went and he preached. He preached the good news. And so these new guys, these false teachers, were preaching, look, if you want God's love, if you want his forgiveness, if you want him to accept you, it's not enough just to believe in him. You must become Jewish. If you're a man, you must be circumcised. You must follow the laws of Moses in the Old Testament. And only then will God love you. Only then will God accept you. Only then will be one of his people, truly. But Paul has driven it home again and again. No! God offers us love. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us acceptance as a free gift, simply to be received by faith. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough. In fact, the only way to receive God's generous gift is to acknowledge that you can never be good enough. And now that we are forgiven, now that we are in the family of God, God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside us and empowers us to live in a way that pleases him. And we follow his lead. We listen for his voice. We walk in step with him. We love what he loves. And this way we're able to say no to the person that we used to be, the person who's dead now. As we come to the end of our journey, Galatians, our final chunk of the letter, let's encourage each other from God's word. Let's keep planting to please the Holy Spirit. Let's keep planting to please the Holy Spirit. So that's in our first section, verses 6 to 10. Let's read 6 to 8 again. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. When Paul uses the words sowing and reaping here, he's using farming language. We could also use, if we wanted to, the word planting and harvesting. The same idea. Now, I love just driving through the English countryside and seeing fields that are just full to bursting with crops, barley, and wheat, and corn. Something about it just makes you feel good. All that grain ready to be reaped, ready to be harvested. But we forget sometimes that actually long before a field looked like this, those fields were empty, weren't they? And the soil was turned over and prepared, and seed good seed, vast quantities of seed, was sown, planted in the soil. Now, Paul says here that God has put this process in creation. He can't be mocked. He can't be bypassed. He has created it this way. Just as farming is all about planting and harvesting, so it is with following Jesus. That's what the Christian life is like. As Christians, we will always, day by day, be sowing seeds. And eventually, we will always, always reap or harvest what we've sown, what we've planted. The harvest will come. And Paul is saying here that every time we give in to sin, every time we give in to temptation and we entertain it, or we indulge it, it's like we're planting seeds in the soil. And when it grows, having been in the soil, it will have an effect. Ultimately, sin will hurt others. Ultimately, sin will hurt us. Sin always does. But wonderfully, did you see that the opposite is also true? We can sow or plant to please the Spirit. Remember that God, the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. We can please him. We can sow to please him. So when we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and we walk in step with him, we are planting seeds. When we praise the Lord, when we worship, when we pray, when we meditate on his word, when we love each other, when we forgive each other, when we encourage each other, when we say no to sin with the Holy Spirit's help, we are planting good seed in the soil. And later there will be a wonderful harvest. None of our sowing seeds is in vain. Here's a quote from John Stott, which I thought was helpful. As we think about our own holiness, our own growing to be more and more like Christ, holiness is a harvest. Whether we reap it or not depends almost entirely on what and where we sow. The Christian life, the whole Christian life is about planting, sowing, and eventually harvesting. Just a moment on verse 6, because verse 6, if you've still got it open in front of you, verse 6 isn't a standalone verse. That's about sowing and reaping as well. Paul is making the case that as pastors and elders and others teach us God's word, they are planting seeds. And so when we pay salaries to our pastors, it's one way in which the harvest is growing and we're all sharing the harvest, if you like. The Christian life has lots of planting and harvesting. Did you see that sowing to please the Spirit can look like doing good to others? Paul says. But it can be tiring, especially when we can't see the effects of it, especially when the harvest takes a long, long time to come. Look at verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. When we do good to others, that is an example of how we might sow to please the Holy Spirit. perhaps this morning you've grown weary showing love to others. Perhaps you've grown weary of serving, always serving. I know there are many of you who are often exhausted and by serving and showing love to members of the church family and to your neighbours, to your own family and to others, you know. And it can be doubly exhausting, can't it, when the harvest seems to be taking a long time to come. And it seems like there's little sign of situations or people get better. And I encourage you with Paul's words here. When the time is right, when God decides, there will be a harvest. All your sowing and all the good that you've been trying to do. You may not know. We don't always know exactly what that's going to look like in the future. But Paul assures us that there will be fruit from our labours. So don't give up. Don't grow weary of doing good to others. Perhaps Paul's words here are actually a bit overwhelming. You believe what Paul says here. You believe what he's saying. But the thought of doing more for others is overwhelming. I don't know what your situation is at the moment. Maybe you're stressed out enough just getting from day to day keeping yourself and your family alive. Note the gentleness of verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. We can't do everything. We weren't made to do everything, to fix every problem. But maybe we could pray today, Father, help me just to plant a small seed today. Show me one person I can bless, person that I can show love to, one person that I can serve in some way. Show me someone in need, someone I can help, someone in my life, maybe someone in this room. Father, show me. We could take a breath now. Why don't we just take a moment to think and to pray, if you like. Pray, God, could you show me something, someone, seed that I could plant. Let's keep planting to please the Holy Spirit. Next, let's keep boasting in the cross of Jesus. Let's keep boasting in the cross of Jesus. That's from verses 11 to 18. Shall we read 11 to 13 again? See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. Now, if you live in Kidlington or you've been to the library in Kidlington, you've been in the loo, you might have seen this sign in the loo. It should come up on the screen. Look at that sign. I have never, let me promise you, I have never put blue hand towel or any other rubbish down that toilet. You know why? Please do not put blue hand towel or any other rubbish down this loo, as it blocks it. 2! There. Thank you. Message received. It's right there in front of the toilet. In bold, big, bold letters. I'm not bashing the library staff. I love the library staff. But that sign does the job, doesn't it? Big, bold letters. Do not put blue hand towel down this loo or any other rubbish. Look at the capital letters. Look at the bold text. Look at those exclamation marks. message received. Now look again at Paul's words in verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Now Paul usually had someone else, a scribe, write his letters for him. But 2 Thessalonians 3:17 tells us that his habit was usually that he would write the last few lines maybe himself. That was a sign to make clear that it was definitely him. It was definitely his letter. But here, it's like he takes the pen from his scribe and he writes the words big. He writes them bold. So this last bit of the letter is really important. He doesn't want his readers to miss what he's saying. Let's keep boasting in the cross of Jesus. This is what we're all about, the cross of Jesus. Paul is telling the Galatians in verse 12 that the reason these new teachers have sprung up and they are telling them to be circumcised, keep the laws of Moses, the reason that they're obsessed with keeping rules is because they want to impress others. They're proud. They want to boast in their own achievement. They want to boast in their own goodness, their own worthiness. Those who want to impress others, Paul says. But look at verse 12. Ultimately, and this is the core of the issue, ultimately they want to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. They want to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. But Paul longs for his readers to embrace the cross of Christ. When Jesus was lifted up on a wooden cross to die, he took all our sin, all our evil, all our shame, all our failure, all our unworthiness, and he suffered and died in our place. He sacrificed his own life for us. And to follow Jesus, to embrace the cross of Christ and what Jesus did for us on the cross, means to lay down your pride. Is to say, I'm unworthy of God's love. I don't deserve to be accepted by God. I could never earn his forgiveness. Look at all I've done wrong. It should have been me on that cross. Father God, please forgive me. And to believe in Jesus, to embrace the cross and all that it means, usually means being persecuted for it. It means to be thought of as ridiculous, to be thought of as dangerous even, to be mistreated and misrepresented, in some cases to be hurt or even killed. It happens around the world today. That's the cost of embracing Jesus' cross. But what Paul is getting at is that you can avoid that. People are avoiding that if you don't boast in the cross, but you boast in yourself, in your own merit, in your own achievement, in your own goodness. If you say, I am good enough, I don't need Jesus, I don't need his grace. We don't need a savior. It's amazing. Even yesterday at the gala, I met a woman and we started talking about the differences and similarities and what we believed. And she said, we can rescue ourselves. It was so stark. It's like we don't need a rescuer. We can save ourselves. Humanity, we have that goodness inside us. We can rescue ourselves. That is not what the Bible says, is it? This is what the false teachers were doing, boasting in themselves and so rejecting Jesus, rejecting his cross. What is Paul answer to that. Look at verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Paul doesn't want to boast about himself. Paul doesn't want to boast or brag about his own achievement or his own goodness. He only wants to boast in Jesus. He only wants to boast in the cross of Jesus and what Jesus has done for him. Because of Jesus, the old you is gone, crucified with Jesus. And this world that stands against King Jesus has no power, no hold over you anymore. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can have forgiveness for our sin. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can have God as our Father. We can have God himself living in us by his Spirit. We can live forever in paradise with him. We can have the burden of our guilt lifted off our shoulders. As the wonderful hymn says, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. We can be brought into God's family, even today. God's family, where being a sinner and knowing you're a sinner, knowing you're unworthy, is the only entry requirement. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we have a new life, a new start. We can be a new creation. Paul says in verse 15, that's the only thing that counts. It's the only thing that means anything. If anyone is a new creation, look what they receive in verse 16. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, gospel. Peace and mercy to them, to the Israel of God. This is something we've talked about in our series before, that we who believe the gospel, we receive peace and mercy from God. We are the true Israel, the true people of God. Put our faith in Christ. The Paul warns his readers about the proud, false teachers who want to avoid being persecuted for following Jesus. However, did you notice that Paul is not ashamed? He's not ashamed for preaching the true gospel. Look at verse 17. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, but I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul's making the point that he bears on his body the scars of being whipped by the authorities, beaten and stoned by angry crowds. All because of the gospel. All because of this offensive message. Turn from your sin and follow King Jesus and receive forgiveness through his cross. So not only is Paul not ashamed of the cross, it's the only thing that he's supremely confident in, the only thing he brags about, the only thing he boasts in is the cross. As we look back over our long journey through Galatians, we have returned to the same message again and again. God's people in Galatia had been led astray by the idea that they needed to make themselves good enough for God. They'd been told that they needed to follow certain rules, tick certain boxes in order to go to heaven one day. They were told that they needed to perform really well for God to accept them. But that's not the message of Jesus. That is not the message of the gospel. Our forgiveness, our acceptance, our new life, not something that we can earn. It's always a gift from God. This is the grace of God, because he is kind and generous. It's not by being good enough. All we have to do is believe the good news of Jesus in our hearts. We can become God's precious children simply by believing, simply by receiving. Have you this morning consciously believed the gospel? Have you consciously received that gift that Jesus is offering you this morning? Because it's the only thing that means anything. It's the only thing that counts. If you have, Paul says, the cross of Jesus will be the one thing that you boast in. The cross of Jesus will be the thing that you delight in more than anything else in the world. We may have reached the end of the letter of Galatians, but we certainly haven't completed it, have we? Why? Because we will always, always, whether we've been follower of Jesus for 5 minutes or for 50 years, we will always need to come back to the cross. When we are laid low and we're acutely aware of our sinfulness and our unworthiness, and we feel almost in our minds a weight of condemnation, and we imagine that God is glowering at us from heaven. No, we turn to Galatians and we remember that because we are in Christ, God will never condemn us. We remember that we are precious children, sons, heirs, because of the cross. And when we've been following Jesus for a while and we're maybe tempted to look down on other Christians or to be impatient with them, we must return to Galatians and we remember that through the gospel we are brothers and sisters, all one in Christ Jesus because of his cross. Because of the cross, we have received grace. The cross of Jesus is our boast. I think is why Paul very deliberately ends his letter with these words. Look at verse 8. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Take a moment just to pray and to reflect, and then we'll sing our final song together. Our final song has these wonderful words: forbid it, Lord. May it never happen. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. May I boast in nothing. It's prayer of Paul, isn't it? May we never boast in anything except the cross and what Jesus has done for us. If we're able to, let's stand and sing together. Thank you.